We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Jones and Mego on WEEI.
We received calls on, you know, our first several picks from a couple different teams. Nothing too serious yet, but it sounds like there's some teams that may be more motivated. If you listen to the whispers out there, that we might hear some more things once we're on the clock.
Well, we're getting closer to the Patriots being on the clock. That's Elliot Wolf on Patriots.com. We are, if you can believe it, 3 hours, 40 minutes, 52 seconds, 51, 50, 49 seconds away from the draft. Full coverage wall-to-wall tonight with Rich Keefe, Andy Hart, Fitzy, and Chris Scheim. We're taking you up until 6 on Jones and Arcan with Mego today.
Oh, wow.
Look at this.
Did I get demoted?
Well, I was just introducing you last just for the element of surprise for the audience
okay.
out there.
I thought we changed the name of the show.
Well, no, it was Jones and Arcan without Mego the last couple of days.
But I think it was listed in order of health.
Oh, yeah,
exactly.
Okay. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm back. Hi, I'm back. I know.
How are we feeling today?
I'm feeling a lot better. Like,
what percentage of a chance is there that you're going to go streaming out of here? Literally streaming out of here.
Yeah, like if you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, she could leave at any moment. She could go streaming
Chick
out of the
wipes.
Studio at any moment to go vomit or whatever. But
Mego,
you're back. You're good.
I am. Yeah, I know. I screwed up yesterday. In the morning I woke up, I was like, I sent in on Slack. I was like, you guys, I'm 80%. I'm so ready to go. Took my dog for a walk and threw up everywhere. And I was like,
you were still,
Mego, you were still throwing
up yesterday?
It was disgusting because I kept trying to.
Norovirus.
Yeah, the issue is I was trying to like take in liquids again too quickly, I found out.
Diet double
blue.
Yeah,
I don't want to get like graphic.
Well, you just said you threw up. What do you mean you're getting graphic? You're the one who said it. I didn't ask
so
you.
So you're supposed to.
I just asked if you were good.
I didn't realize you're supposed to have like popsicles and just very small amounts of liquid. And one of the reasons I kept throwing up was I kept trying to like really take in liquid so I would get better faster.
All the enzymes in your stomach were gone. So you start force feeding it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
so what
horrible.
Happens when fighters cut weight. They start, you know, chowing down and you get sick.
That's what was going on, yes. Do you have anything to say to Arcan?
Arcan, karmic retribution has been served. I will never make fun of you ever again for calling out sick.
That's nice.
If you had seen me, like, curled up in a ball on the floor at different periods for the last 2.5 days.
Trust me, I pictured it in my mind.
You would feel like justice was served. The sounds that I was making that were emitting from my mouth. So sorry. Both violent and pitiful.
I was going to say, just your mouth?
Yeah.
Let's not go there.
Yeah, okay. Just curious. But you feel
let her have her dignity at least.
You do feel.
Yeah, I have so much of that intact. When I ran out of the studio to go throw up in the other room and I came back, someone texted it, Mego looks like she just threw up.
Oh, no, there was a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But you actually were like, this is karmic retribution.
I didn't think about Arcan that much because mostly I was like, wow, the tile floor is so cold against my
cheek. In between vomits, she's thought of me.
I feel so nice. Thank you, cold linoleum.
Okay, so Mego.
Okay, I need to address this because
there's
I also
a rumor
got,
I think you need to.
I got
talk
two
about,
texts,
yeah.
And now the text line is on it. I'm not pregnant. Okay. Someone said, I think Mego is pregnant. I'm not pregnant.
Many people wanted to rename the show Jones and Prego, is what people wanted to do.
No, I simply had a disgusting virus that really took me out.
We couldn't get Jones and Noro to catch on.
The good news is She's hit her wedding weight.
Nice.
Nice.
Good
just,
job.
Just kidding. That was a horrible joke.
Squeaking into that dress.
By any means necessary.
Yeah, whatever it takes. That makes sense. You know, it makes sense. You know, you gotta get into that thing. So anyway, Mego is back here today on Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI, abbreviated show because the Red Sox lost in Cleveland today, 6-4. If you have thoughts on that, I guess we'll take them. 617-779-7937. We're starting, though, with the draft tonight. You want to talk about karmic retribution. The Patriots deserve some at the quarterback position after what we've watched the last couple of years. Watching Mac Jones regress, get worse and worse and worse. You hear Elliott Wolf, I think they're about to get their karmic retribution. They're about to get the balancing out for watching the disaster quarterback play the last few years. Unless they screw it up. Like, I'm a little nervous, Mego. You know how I feel about Drake May? I know how you feel about Drake May. We both like him. We would both take him over any other quarterback. I would take him at number three tonight. It's a no-brainer. It's going to go Caleb Williams. I think he's minus 20,000, I just read, on DraftKings to go first overall.
It's means a good
you bet 20,000 to make 100 bucks.
Yeah.
Sound.
In the money.
Jaden Daniels, I think, is minus 1,000. So bet 1,000 to make 100 bucks. I haven't checked the latest betting markets. I know Drake May is the favorite to go number three, though it's tightened up a little bit.
I'll check it right
with
now.
With J.J. McCarthy. I would take him at three. I would run up there. I wouldn't even take phone calls at this point in time. If you wanted to take him the last couple of weeks, fine. I'm not taking him now. Once I'm on the clock, I'm making the pick. You heard Elliott Wolf there. We'll play you more from Wolf coming up. I've read everyone today, from Tommy Curran to Mike Reese to Peter Schrager to Daniel Jeremiah to Burt Breer. Pretty much everyone is saying we expect it to be Drake May, .. unless they get blown away. Which means the door's still open a little bit, which I don't like. You can fix everything. Potentially. He might miss just like anyone might miss that you draft in the first round. It's not a lock. But I feel good about this pick. I want them to make this pick. I hope they don't screw it up. But the closer we get, 3 hours, 35 minutes, 12 seconds, 11, 10 seconds away from the draft, and I guess a little longer until they pick. They're scheduled for like 8:30 tonight to make the pick, maybe a little before that. I just hope they don't screw it up because it's right there for the taking.
I feel the same way, too. The only thing I would say is, am I crazy? And Arcan, I bring you in on this.
Yes, I say yes.
Because I think you're going to be more in line with this way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And this is not what I want them to do. But the reason that they're leaving that door cracked open is it that they know there is a world in which at the very last, the 11th hour, they get offered four first-round picks, something greater than the San Francisco deal a couple years ago in 2021, that it's a groundbreaking trade offer, and they can present that to the Crafts and say, you want to be dedicated to building this out through the draft, and by the way, this is very cost-efficient. This is how we can do it.
Can I just ask?
I'm just asking, okay, is there a possibility in which ownership would buy into that
maybe,
rather than taking Drake May
if
at
some
three?
Team's going to offer four picks, why haven't they done it yet?
Like because I'm saying they're allowing for the desperation to hit.
But a team's going to wait until they're on the clock. There's only a 10-minute window to hammer out that level of deal.
There's also 3 hours, 33 minutes, and 53 mm-hmm. seconds to make a deal.
But that's a complex deal. And they haven't been able to figure it out over weeks and months. Now,
right.
Now all of a sudden, when they're on the clock, they're going to execute it?
No, I don't think so. So I agree that I don't think it's likely. I'm trying to reason out why they are leaving the door open and wondering if, part of that, is it possible, Arcan, that part of that would be appeasing ownership because it's offering what they can sell as smarter, more stable Cincinnati Bengals style. I know because you're not getting the quarterback that we would want,
like
Joe
Burrow.
Doesn't
sound like the Bengals at all.
But it would be a couple years of having these very high, hopefully, first-round draft picks.
I think it's a great idea, but I don't think the Crafts will. I don't think that they'll agree with that. I think that if that happens, if what you're describing happens and what I want to have happen happens, then most fans are going to be upset by that. And I think that the Crafts right now don't feel like they have enough goodwill to piss off their fans any more than they already have with the documentary and all this other stuff. So I'm of the belief that, no, even if it does make sense, and I do think it does, financially and from a team-building perspective, to entertain things like that, number one, I don't think they're getting the offer, and number two, I don't think the Crafts would value that over a marketable new young quarterback that they can sell jerseys for at three overall. It's not like Mac at 15. This is the third overall pick.
Here's the thing, is like I feel the same way about Drake May. I think they should not get cute. I think they should not try to play the board up and down, trade back up, get futures, hope that the Raiders suck, hope that, you know, somebody else sucks and that they can live off that for the next couple of years. I don't like that game. But I do look at it and I go, isn't that a short-term way of thinking? Hey, we're going to sell a bunch of jerseys. Like, Mac Jones sold a bunch of jerseys in his rookie season, and then it was a disaster from a business perspective.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good rookie season, so that helped too. By the way, Drake May is minus 320 to go third. McCarthy's plus 300. Jaden Daniels plus 1,400.
Okay, so those tightened up a little bit last night. But it's separating again. And again, Caleb Williams is obviously going first. We see Jaden Daniels, the heavy, heavy favorite, to go second. Just scroll by in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. But I saw it there. Jones is so stupid. If there's a deal, it's probably already in place, but they're obviously not going to talk about it. So why are they talking up Drake May? Like, if they're going to turn around and trade the pick, why are they talking up Drake May? They're clearly doing that behind the scenes. Let me give you some examples. Tommy Curran. Expect the Patriots to take Drake May at number three tonight, unless someone, Vikings or Giants, makes them an offer they can't refuse. So expect it to be Drake May. Daniel Jeremiah, and I don't know how much he's talking to the team, but he's very plugged in throughout the league. His mock today, Drake May, number three. I feel confident the third selection will be May. I lean towards thinking the Patriots will stick and pick. When you need a quarterback, you don't try to get cute and move around the board. Burt Breer, New England Patriots, Drake May at number three. I do think there's some debate about trading the pick and some disagreement. The Patriots are having to work through that, and this is new because the franchise doesn't function as an autocracy in player acquisition anymore. In the end, May is the pick because New England needs a guy with a ceiling for the next 10 years rather than a more palatable answer for the next two. So why are they talking up Drake May but also considering trading out? The only thing I can think of, and I've said it before, I'll stand by it. The only thing I can think of is they've been playing the game to make sure Washington doesn't change their minds. Which, by the way, Elliot Wolf, what'd you say to Patriots.com earlier today, or at least the video that was posted earlier today? What's your feel on the number two pick?
I don't have a great feeling. Again, there's whispers out there, but things can always change last minute. So, you know, we just try to control what we can control and go through all the scenarios for us and as they make sense for our franchise.
So I love this idea. They're going to trade back and trade back up. The double dip, right? They're going to move down and move back up.
Snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap.
The guy doesn't know who's going second. He just told you he doesn't have a good feel on who's going second. They're unsure. This is the same guy who's going to manipulate the draft board, move down to 11, and then move back up to 4? Or move down to whatever, 12 or 13, and try to move his way back up to 5 and get J.J. McCarthy? That's not happening. He doesn't have a feel for the draft board. And oh, by the way, I don't think he's making the pick. So the only other theory I can come up with besides not knowing what Washington's going to do, which he just said, maybe he's lying, but that's what he just said. The only other thing I can think of is this is Elliot Wolf's subtle way of letting you know he doesn't love Drake May, but ownership is taking Drake May.
And that's the kind of thing that I can't stand, because it's like, we get it. You don't have the contract yet. You don't have the general manager title. You're director of scouting. You're coming in here. You got to do, to some extent, what ownership wants to do. You already held the press conference, what was it, last week, when you talked about, oh, you could have Lamar Jackson, but maybe even with Lamar Jackson, you would have been packing your bags. And the between the lines there was, well, ownership wanted me to take Baker Mayfield, so I took Baker Mayfield back when I was in Cleveland. And it's this kind of like, I don't know, these subtle between the line possible digs, and you can say that we're reading too much into it, but otherwise, why is he talking up somebody where it's coming out, oh, he's actually pretty high on J.J. McCarthy. Oh, what did we hear before that? He's actually high on taking a tackle like Joe Alt or somebody. Instead, like everything but Drake May. To me, it seems like he's going to be strong-armed into the situation of having to take Drake May, because as he told us, he's not crazy, and that's what most of the room wants, and the room knows that that's what ownership wants.
Yeah, this is my fear, is that, again, they're not fully sold on the pick, or there's a discrepancy there, which, whatever. That's why I want ownership to come out and, you know, claim the pick, Arcan, and stop hiding behind Elliot Wolf, who I don't think is making the pick at 3. He'll make the call at 34.
Right.
If they're sticking or if they move up or whatever, I'm sure he made the call on most of free agency. He's only allowed to spend so much. Ownership scaled that back. but largely he's going to control personnel. The number three pick, I don't think, is him. And this may be his way of letting you know he doesn't like it. He's stamping his feet.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. And, I mean, there's a lot of things about this. If I'm Elliot Wolf, I probably don't like. I don't like being told who to draft at three. I don't like that I'm not the GM. I don't like that I don't have a contract beyond, you know, this weekend or whatever it is. You know, like, I just think that all of that sort of points to a situation where he may be not super happy about anything that's going on right now. But in terms of where the blame will fall, if they try and snip-snap the draft and they go down and then trade back up and do this and do that and they don't get who they want.
Which, by the way, I hate. Like, I think I've been on the record enough. That is way too cute for a group of people who are doing this for the first time.
I don't mind trading back. In fact, I'd prefer if they traded back. Don't trade back and then trade back. Just one thought at a time, please.
Okay.
I don't think there's any need for that, and I don't think that's a safe play for Elliot Wolf, just in terms of, like, how bad it could go and how he'd take all the blame for it.
Yeah, I've made this analogy before, and it's a good one. I'll pat myself on the back for it.
Congratulations.
Don Sweeney's first draft, he thought he had full command of the draft board. He thought he could move all over the place. And Sweeney's proven to be a pretty competent GM. He thought he was going to get Noah Hanifin. He collected all these first-round picks. He thought he knew what it was going to take to go get him. Then he didn't. He was stuck with three picks, and he screwed most of them up. He got DeBrusque in the middle. Zboril was a bust, and he had to take Seneshin way before he wanted to. Okay? So he panicked, and he wasn't ready for it. I don't trust Elliot Wolf to be ready for it. And if it goes above Elliot Wolf, and it probably does, I don't trust the Crafts to be able to handle that sort of draft manipulation. How about this one, though? We talked about this yesterday, Arkan. How far would you be comfortable moving back? And you guys can weigh in on this, 617-779-7937. I said I wouldn't move past the Giants at six. I don't want Minnesota's two picks, 11 and 23. I definitely don't want Denver at 12 or the Raiders at 13. Six, I can still get a receiver. And I don't want them to move back, but if you're telling me they're deciding to move back and it's happening, I'm not moving past the Giants. Jordan Schultz earlier today from, where is he now? Jordan Schultz's Bleacher Report, is that right?
I'm not sure about that.
Formerly at ESPN. Where the hell is Jordan Schultz these days? Jordan Schultz is at Bleacher Report.
Okay.
The Giants have been trying to trade up to number three with the Patriots with the belief being they want UNC quarterback Drake May. That's according to multiple league sources. The prevailing belief is it's a long shot to happen. But New England is listening to all calls. We're going to play a Schefter clip coming up later on in the show where he talks about this exact thing. I don't love the idea of a team moving up and taking Drake May. I said this to Arkan yesterday. It's like, oh, okay, so the Giants don't have a quarterback. They're coming up for Drake May? Or the Raiders are going to give you Devontae Adams and move up for a quarterback? Or the Vikings are going to give you Justin Jefferson and they're going to move up for a quarterback? They're telling you they prioritize the quarterback over the wide receiver. Why are you taking this team's scraps and leftovers and their high-end scraps and leftovers and Jefferson and Devontae Adams? But you're not winning with a wide receiver if you don't have the quarterback. And I would just be very leery of a team moving up and taking a QB. They're moving up for a reason. And what I would just look at it if I were Robert Kraft and say, why are they in love with this guy? Why aren't we in love with this guy? What are we seeing? What are we missing that they're seeing?
Yeah, I think it's either arrogance or that you hate yourself. Like, it's either that you're arrogant, you think that you're smarter than everybody, you see what this quarterback actually is, and you're sitting there like Christian Arkan saying all these quarterbacks suck and they're not going to ever be Russell Wilson and I don't want them. Mm-hmm. Or you're sitting there saying we're just so bad. We are so bad. Our coaching staff is so inexperienced. Everything here is so bad that any quarterback that walks into the system, we're going to completely wreck them just like we wrecked Mac Jones. Like, I don't agree with it. I think that that would be the reasoning that they would have, and neither one of those is a good way to reason your way through the draft if you need a quarterback.
Yeah, and if you do feel that way, you can still take the quarterback and sit him. I hate that, but there is like
I'm more lenient to that.
There is a way to split that difference. If you don't think you're ready for him, you can draft him and not play him. If you still feel highly about the prospect in 2 or 3 years, I would play him. I'm not afraid to ruin him. I don't really think you ruin young quarterbacks. I think they can either play or they can't. That's what I think.
I'm not afraid of what the Raiders or Broncos or Vikings think about Drake May. I don't care about that.
Why?
Because the 49ers really like Trey Lance, and they did put all those picks together and traded up with Miami, and Miami said, oh, wow, they must really like this
Miami
guy.
Didn't need a quarterback.
They didn't need a quarterback, but they still were right about Trey. I mean, Trey Lance was a guy that was not someone that the 49ers needed to
but
trade all that for.
They already had their quarterback, so it is different.
It's like, different in the sense that they didn't need a quarterback. but they were right on the evaluation, like in the sense that, okay, you want to trade us all this, we'll take it. We don't have anybody else here. And the 49ers were wrong, I guess is the point. It's not really so much about what the Dolphins thought. It's that the Niners were wrong. They thought trading all that to get up and get Lance was the way to go, and they were wrong about that.
Right, but that was one case. Sorry. Yeah, just
sure, but
quick,
I think they could be wrong about Drake May, too.
And I understand it's recent, but I just feel like that because that happened with the 49ers, who, by the way, everybody thinks is the smartest freaking team in the history of the NFL since, I don't know, maybe like the 2010 Patriots. Like, everybody looks at it and they go, well, they screwed that up, so we're not gonna give up all this capital.
And Arkan, you're really yada-yadaing past the team having the same need is very, very different. It's different because if I'm the owner, I go, wait, they're moving up for the position we need. That's just way different than a team that already has their quarterback and says, all right, they're going to overpay. We already have the QB. We have to fill out the rest of the roster. The Patriots have to fill out QB.
Fine. Say the Dolphins needed a quarterback then, and they made that trade anyway. They would have been right. You know, they would have been right. Trey Lance was the worst out of all the quarterbacks.
It was just about the player.
I'm telling you,
like,
if they needed a quarterback.
That was about the specific player. Do you think that Drake May is extremely similar to Trey Lance?
Like, I mean, I have no idea what he's going to be. If he's going to be more like that or Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence, I don't know what he's going to be.
The evaluation can be wrong. I totally agree with you on that.
And, like, the Raiders now are these geniuses when it comes to evaluating quarterback. Like, I don't think that's true either. So it's like, I'm not scared of what another team would be doing to get to three. I don't think that would scare me off from that because I don't think that Drake May is that much better than really any of the other guys, Penix or Nix or even McCarthy. He's probably better than McCarthy, but I don't think he's much better.
You don't think he's better than Bo Nix?
Not really, no.
Wow. I'm glad I got you back to your origin.
Fine. I never thought he was better than Bo Nix. I've never once said that. I don't even think he's better than Penix. Like, I don't really like Drake May. I've said this before. I think that if you make one of those trades, I wouldn't go past 12 because there's six teams that need quarterbacks and there's six quarterbacks. So I wouldn't go past 12 because I don't want to just take the last guy. But I think that that's probably where I'd cut it off, right there. So I'd at least be guaranteed I get one of them and then I can use the other picks for other things. But that's as far back as I
go. He's anti-ACC.
He is. Let's get to some phone calls here.
Pro Pac 12.
617-779.
Rest in peace, Pac 12.
790. 37. Mike's in Framingham. Go ahead, Mike.
Mike?
Oh, Mike.
How you doing?
Oh, hey, Mike.
First of all, I agree with the statement that you have no idea which of these quarterbacks will be any good and which ones will flame out.
Okay, Mike, I hate this analysis. I hate this. So can you just answer me this? Do they know what receivers are going to be good?
No.
Okay, so no one knows anything about the draft, so why make any picks? Why make any picks? No one knows anything. Why have any draft picks ever? What's the point of the draft? Trade them all for players that you know are already in the NFL. What's the point?
You guys know more about the draft than Wolf does. I'd rather have you guys.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, I like this.
Well, now you're talking some sense. Now I get it.
Well,
yell
at them.
I actually love this analysis. Yeah, keep going.
All right. I want the Patriots to get more picks this year. So if they're going to trade with the Giants, you want the Giants' first and second pick this year. If you're going to trade with Minnesota, you want their first two picks this year and their second-round pick. I want the Patriots to have more picks this year. This draft has a lot of tackles. It has a lot of wide receivers, and they'll still be able to get a quarterback.
I'm confused.
Okay, Mike started weird, and then it got really strong.
Yeah,
it got really confusing.
He said nice things in the middle.
That's all I did.
Did he sound familiar to you?
No. Thank you for listening.
He did?
He sounded familiar to me.
Well, I don't know. What are you
driving at? You think this is someone from your personal life?
No, I think it was someone who used to call the other station and do songs. Well, remember Mike Behind the Mic? Didn't that sound like Mike Behind the Mic?
No.
I don't know. Yeah.
It wasn't him? Are you sure?
No, I don't think it sounded like him. I know who you're
talking about. I thought it sounded exactly like him, and his name was Mike.
Guys, that's definitely not his first time calling.
Okay, well, that's what it sounded like to me.
Whatever.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Whatever. I agree. I know more than Elliot Wolf. I agree with that.
We all do, yes.
I don't understand his analysis, though. No one knows anything about the draft, but they want more picks this year. I don't.
Well, they know he wants us picking.
Right.
And he wants us picking this year.
We know about the draft. Elliot Wolf, not so much.
I mean, it was nice words, possibly Mike Behind the Mic Callahan, but I don't quite understand where you were going with that. More of your phone calls coming up. 617-779-7937.
How are you doing?
I mentioned Adam Schefter spoke to Rich Eisen yesterday about the idea of the Patriots moving back and maybe still getting their guy. Let's get to that with all your phone calls next.
How are you doing?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Adam Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry. You like Crazy Town?
I think Crazy Town for sure.
Megan Ottolini.
I love fire.
Christian Arcand.
I love shrooms.
This is Jones and Mega with Arcand.
Let me upgrade you
on WEEI.
The whole thing is, right now, to me, what's going to happen at 3? I think New England will wind up staying, but they've gotten calls from the Vikings, and they've gotten calls from the Giants, and what happens when we get on the clock, and New England's there, and the Giants or the Vikings say, we've got 10 minutes to go get the quarterback we want. I want to see what happens when New England comes on the clock.
Right.
And I want to see the phones in the room. I want to see who's calling in and what's going to happen. Who's going to step up? Minnesota, in my mind, is more desperate to get up there. But the Giants are within striking range of getting up there. So what, in the end, is more valuable? The more desperate team with more ammunition, or the team that's at 6 to where the Patriots could go from 3 to 6 and still get the quarterback that they want?
For J.J. McCarthy, you think?
Or maybe J.J. McCarthy goes 3. Or maybe J.J. McCarthy goes 3. Or maybe.
Whoa.
Or maybe.
Okay, so let me tell you. If the Patriots trade down to 6 because the Giants are moving up the board to take J.J. McCarthy.
When somebody does what on the clock?
Yeah, gross, Schefter. But if the Patriots move from 3 to 6 and still get Drake May, I'll give them all the credit in the world tomorrow. I'll say, wow, I didn't think they could manipulate the draft board. I thought they had no feel. I didn't give Elliott Wolf any credit, the Crafts any credit, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's going to happen, but if it does, shame on me. I'll be wrong. I'll come in with my tail tucked tomorrow. At least for my take, I'll be happy they got Drake May at 6. And they picked up added draft capital. Great. Good for them. Awesome job.
Or maybe.
Stiff stop, stiff stop, stiff stop.
What do you think Schefter's doing? What is that?
Covering all bases. He's been tipping hands the last 2.5 weeks like nobody's business.
I have a theory on Schefter specifically.
Okay, and a lot of people, he's covering bases.
Sabatuji?
Okay, but why? Why is he covering bases?
Because he's going to get in trouble if he tips his hand too much. He's not supposed to be in the business of tipping exactly what's happening in the draft. This is a huge television show.
I think that's part of it. I think that's a factor. And maybe the league said, hey, can your guy scale it back a little bit? ESPN, you've talked about this. Many people have talked about this. Many people are saying. They also have a sports book.
Sure do. Where you can bet on who's getting picked when.
And so if Schefter's out here going, yeah, Drake May's going 3rd to the Pats, the lines all shift and it gets all screwed up and people are going to be pissed on the other end, right? Or if it doesn't happen or whatever. If he commits too strongly or he sends too strong of a message and it moves lines based on what Schefter knows, then he can get yelled at. He can get in trouble. ESPN can get in trouble, which then he'll get yelled at. Something like that.
And there's less action for the book then because the odds will go way up to like minus 2 million or whatever you said they were for Williams and Daniels. No one's going to make those
bets. Last I saw, it's minus 20,000 for Caleb Williams. It's minus 1,000 for Jaden Daniels.
Good luck to your Commanders in the draft as well.
And so, look, you know, maybe that's part of it too. Maybe ESPN being in bed, having their own sports book. Not being in bed with DraftKings or FanDuel, but having their own sports book.
They own the whole brothel.
Maybe that's why he has to sit there and go, yeah, J.J. McCarthy could go 3.
Which is ridiculous,
by the way. And
Drake
May could go 6.
It's not going to happen. Like, we all feel that, right?
I don't think
so, no. J.J. McCarthy is not going to go 3.
I don't think. Well, I think that could happen. I don't think Drake May is going to go six.
What percentage do you think of JJ McCarthy going three is a reality? Like, what if you could put a percentage on it?
10%.
Okay, so it's not going to happen.
10% can't happen.
10% can't. 10% is a very, very slim margin.
I feel like 10%'s there's a chance that can happen. No.
If you tell me like there's a 90%.
The Heat were 15-point underdogs last night. They won.
If they say, well, I won't use this example because the weather people are terrible. I was going to say if there's a 90% chance it's going to rain. 90% chance of anything, like you're mostly buying in.
I walk into a room with 9 other people and they said, you have a 10% chance of surviving. We're going to shoot one of you. Then right. I wouldn't want to be in there.
I want that number to be 0%.
Actually feel pretty good about that.
Yeah?
I mean, I don't like being a witness, but I feel good about my chances.
That's good percentages. Still.
I wouldn't. Okay. Like, I'm not playing Russian roulette with those
your
numbers.
Your analogy was weird.
It was.
You took it to a weird place.
But
I think it makes sense.
I think it makes the best. Everybody now agrees.
I'm sorry.
Everyone now agrees with me and you.
The NFL draft is execution.
Yeah.
Kind of,
yeah. You want to play Russian roulette with those numbers? You don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so 10%, I think 10%, J.J. McCarthy could go three. I don't feel strongly about it, but he could. I'm not saying 0%. Drake May 0% goes
six.
Do
you want to make a bet? Because you already have a Nordic cycle that's coming up at some point in May.
Trust me, I'm aware. Drake May is not, no, I'm not wagering on McCarthy going three, but he could. May will not go six. This is what I'm telling you.
I'm 0%. I rarely make predictions on this show and say, like, I am completely standing by this. J.J. McCarthy is not going three. Feels good to be back.
He's probably not, but there's no scenario where he goes three. Like, the Patriots could take him at three. That's the scenario.
Only
I don't think the Patriots.
Only if an absolute moron takes control of the whole situation.
Some could have. You know, they could be one of those bong mask videos that comes out right when the draft starts of Drake May with the bong mask. I mean, listen, that happened to once.
That would make me lean Laramie further Tunsil, into it because then I'm like, okay, he knows pain management.
Okay.
It's like, legal here.
Look. He could go three if the Patriots take him.
And it's different here.
They're not trading the pick, I don't think, and somebody's not moving up for McCarthy. They're moving up for May, is what I think. But there's a chance he could go three. There's no chance Drake May falls to six. That I'll put a 0% chance on. Paul's in Abington. Go ahead, Paul.
Good afternoon. I'd love to know this. There had to have been 2 million, somewhere in the million range of so many predictions for this draft. I'm excited to see what the Pats do, but I'll be so excited to know that it's in the past come tomorrow. But that being said, I believe the Pats are going to stay put. But if they were to trade, I have a scenario where I have them trading to the Giants, so they switch from 3 to 6, and then moving back to 4 with Arizona, and they still end up with either May or
I get it. It's the big brain idea. Let me find a tweet here. Daniel Jeremiah had a good one today. Ready? Daniel Jeremiah said, the wildest rumor that I heard, and I think he tends to be the most plugged in when it comes to his mock draft.
We're just talking about the draft rumors.
Wildest top 10 draft rumor. Here you go. Minnesota goes from 11 to 3. New England goes from 11 back up to 4. Arizona goes from 11. I guess the Patriots flip, they get 4 from Arizona, so Arizona moves to 11, and they move back up to 5. Everybody's big-braining the whole draft, moving down, moving back
that
up.
That 11 pick is like the town bicycle.
What's it called, Arcan?
Snip, snap.
So cute. I don't like it at all.
I don't either.
Topical reference.
I've certainly heard idea that moving down and back
what
up
What is
before.
That reference? Is that The Office?
Yes.
Okay. You know I'm not an office
Michael Scott
person.
Has 3 vasectomies. And then he gets them undone, and then he gets them redone, and he goes snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap.
Okay.
Yeah, Mego, such a hot take artist. Doesn't like The Office.
I don't like The Office.
What song were you dumping? You were dumping on some song or artist the other day. Who do you not like?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is it Elton John?
No,
who else you like?
It was Arcan who was criticizing music.
No, it was Mego. Mego was hot taking music the other day.
Me?
Hot taking The Office.
I'm pretty open-minded with music. I like a lot of bad music.
What a hot take artist.
Who had this vasectomy reversed?
Mike Reese, if you want some more draft
Mike
buzz.
Mike Reese had this. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Mike Reese is the original Snip Snap. 3 Patriots reporting nuggets. At 34, the team has explored what it would look like to jump back into the second half of the first round. That's out there a lot. Peter Schrager spoke about that. He has it in his mock draft. The Patriots moving back to 32 and taking Xavier Leggett, I think.
I like that.
I don't like him as a prospect, but I like getting a receiver at the end of the
like
first
him?
Round because he has 1 year of production and 4 years where he did nothing. So I'm out. But I like that idea of the Patriots moving up and taking a receiver. I don't like the specific receiver in that scenario, but that idea of moving up and securing the guy you want, I like. contracts. They're having active extension discussions with Christian Barmore and the offseason program. KJ Osborne makes an early impression. So that's the latest buzz on the Patriots from Mike Reese. They could be looking to move in at the end of the first round. He also thinks they're taking Drake May. But he, like many, are leaving the door open. Why? Are they really considering a move back, and how would you feel about it? 617-779-7937. We'll start to mix in some thoughts on the games last night. Again, abbreviated show today. We had the Red Sox. A lot of draft thoughts for you coming up. But we'll work our way through the Celtics choking last night, or really failing to even show up against the Miami Heat. Are they actually in trouble? We'll get to that with all your draft thoughts next.
From the WEEI Studios, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. Draft coverage on WEEI is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the home heating oil delivery and HVAC pros at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee, and by McCormick Grill Mate Seasoning.
Arrow for two. This building's in shock, Scott.
I'm in shock.
I don't understand what we're doing today. I really don't. I don't understand all the pick and rolls and all the slow isolations. I just don't get it. I really don't get it.
I don't think anybody gets it, Scal. Very confusing last night. Celtics really get handled by the Miami Heat. They fall 111-101, 23 three-pointers from Miami last night, franchise record. Without Jimmy Butler, without Terry Rozier, after the Celtics mostly took it to them in game one, at least before Eric Spoelstra put out the code red at the end of game one. How big of an impact did that have? How concerned are you about the Celtics losing home court advantage? Miami now has it in this first round matchup with the 8-seeded Miami Heat. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. It's the final hour of Jones and Mego with Arcan here on WEEI. We'll still take your thoughts on the NFL draft tonight. What are the Patriots doing at 3? Should they move back? Why are they entertaining offers? Isn't Drake May obviously the guy? 617-779-7937. Again, full draft coverage tonight with Rich Keefe, Andy Hart, Fitzy, and Scheim. It's 2 hours, 56 minutes, and 56 seconds, 55, 54, 53 away from the Patriots. Well, from the draft starting. Actually, the Patriots will be on the clock later than that. So we'll continue to mix in your thoughts there. On the Celtics quickly, because we have a short show today. Red Sox lost earlier today, 6-4, in Cleveland. Just an opportunity to react here quickly. How concerned should we be after that game?
I think you should actually be concerned about who this team is at this point, because this team was not tested a whole lot during the regular season. And look, I still think that they should go back to the finals. I'm not threatened by Miami, but I am still feeling a little bit worried about who this team is when they're not front runners, and when they have to scrap and fight a little bit, and when they have to adjust mid-game. To me, that's the biggest thing. Look, what Miami was doing out there on the perimeter, they started it in the first quarter. Eric Spoelstra came in with an excellent game plan where he's setting up these screens for Tyler Hero, and then when that doesn't work, and the Celtics are all getting all pissed off because they think Bam Adebayo's setting moving screens, whatever, the ref's not calling it, they're getting pissed off. And then guess what? When they actually go and try to overcorrect to Hero, they just swing it over to Caleb Martin or anybody else who's open because the team has shooters. Like, it's not like this is a historically incredible three-point shooting Miami Heat team. You just didn't adjust at any point in the game.
So you blame Mazzulla?
I do blame Mazzulla partly, but I don't want to excuse what was going on with Porzingis.
Yeah.
The no-show by Drew Holiday. Like, for the most part, Jaylen was fine. Tatum was mostly fine.
Oh, I
but
disagree.
Overall, like, the total lack of adjustment, reaction time, everything on defense was embarrassing because it's your home floor. You were 14, 15 point like favorites. It's so disappointing.
It's pathetic. It was pathetic. And I don't blame Mazzulla. I'll blame Mazzulla. That was an effort thing. There was zero, they gave zero effort. They thought they could roll the basketballs out there and beat Miami. They don't have Jimmy Butler. We were up 30 whatever in game one. We can just show up and beat Miami. And they thought this before. I got plenty of phone calls. I remember specifically, we were at the BetMGM sportsbook on the first day of the NCAA tournament. They had just blown a giant lead against Milwaukee without Giannis. They won the game. oh, who cares? It won't matter in the postseason. This won't come back to bite them. They blew other leads against teams missing players. They did it against Cleveland without, was it Mitchell? And they lost Mobley in game. They've done it other times. And people said, oh, it won't matter. It's not a concern come the postseason. No, no, no. This is that exact scenario. Miami doesn't have their best player. Throw Rozier on top of it as well. And the Celtics thought they could just show up and beat them. And they can't. They got into bad habits late in the year. Now, look, they should beat Miami. But long term, will it catch up to them somewhere? It might. And last night was pathetic. I don't want to say none. Mazzulla can adjust, and he got outcoached by Spoelstra. Fine, he's going to get outcoached by Spoelstra. He's not as good of a coach. That was about effort. They had no effort last night.
Yeah, and it really goes back to something that's been bothering me all season with this team. Whenever they lost a game, you get that stupid wake-up call bullcrap that they all love to talk about. That Porzingis,
it's so true.
Porzingis is the worst, and he had a terrible game. He was scary bad last night.
Soft.
Like, Porzingis, I'm scared of how bad he looked.
Soft.
That's terrifying. If that's what he's going to give you, like, that's really, really terrifying.
Yeah, you're like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
I didn't know that the floor went this low.
He was garbage, and Holiday sucked too, but that's why I hate on all that wake-up call crap. Oh, man, we got punched in the mouth. Oh, it was good for us to lose this game. Oh, I'm so glad we lost this game. That really made us focus. All right, great. And now you're just going to be doing it in the playoffs, too. These games that you love losing. And, oh, what a great wake-up call. Well, there's your wake-up call. Now you don't have home court advantage anymore, and you can barely crack 100 points against a team that doesn't have their best player. Like, that's infuriating. And I don't think that Tatum had a great game either, but he had 28 points. Jaylen Brown had 33 points, and you lost by double freaking digits.
Good like, loss that, for us.
That's pathetic. You're right, Jones. That is a pathetic showing for that team.
But here's the thing. Like, they chose the option of letting Tatum and Brown do what, quite frankly, comes most naturally to them, which is slow-ass iso ball. Like, they settled for the 2 points when they were raining historical amount of threes on the other side. Tatum and Brown.
Those two guys.
No, I'm saying exactly.
Yeah, I blame
and
them.
So
I don't blame Mazzulla.
At some point, it's like, okay, I know that you take the stance of Tatum and Brown run the entire show, and so whatever they're going to do
is
whatever they're
going
to do. Well, no, that's where the coach needs to step in and say, we need to move the ball around the perimeter, do back to them what they're doing to us on the other side and actually swing it instead of trying to take. I think Joe Mazzulla stands on the side and he goes, Jason Tatum's so awesome. Look at the matchup Jason Tatum has against this Heat player who I think is pretty crappy compared
to Jason Tatum. You know what happens?
And it didn't work, Jones.
Okay, but you know what happens if he says, Jason, let's move the ball? They start tuning him out and they get him fired.
Jaylen Brown's doing that already. Listen to him post-game.
So I was going to say this. So I hated this answer from Jaylen. Let's hear this after the game. He blames the coach, too.
What is it about this team being able to hit so many three-pointers against you guys?
I think they're well-coached. I mean, I think that's credit to the coaching staff and organization. They put together a good game plan for them, and they feel confident, and they come out and execute it. I think that's what, you know, they do, you know. And tonight was an example of that, you know. I just thought they made, you know, a lot of shots that we normally will feel comfortable with, but it's the playoffs. It is what it is. You got to adjust, and we got to play ball. So we got to respond.
Okay. Like, I don't care what Spoelstra comes up with for a game plan. There should be no game plan with the Heat's lack of talent without Jimmy Butler that matches up with the Celtics. It's about the players. This hasn't, last night had nothing, in my estimation, nothing to do with coaching.
Oh, and
Jaylen can throw the coach under the bus all he wants because he doesn't want to take responsibility. It's on the players.
I agree that a huge part of it is on the players. But to stand there and look at the way that they didn't adjust in the second quarter, they didn't adjust in the third quarter, they didn't adjust in the fourth quarter. Like, I look at that, nothing changed. They let them go out and play the worst version of Celtics offense. Like, it looked like the worst version of those Udoka offenses when the team was all focused on defense.
I don't think that was scheme. I think it was effort.
They took what the Heat gave them, which was driving in and playing slow-ass iso ball.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't work. I get, like, Porzingis, Drew Holiday both really looked out of sorts. I think that was part of what the stupid Heat zone was doing, too, taking them out of rhythm. But it's like, okay, so then don't have a coach on the sidelines if you're just going to let that happen.
Yeah, Heat shot 23 wide-open threes.
Yeah.
23. Keith Smith did the breakdown. 15 of 23 wide open, 6 of 14 with a 4 to 6 foot window, and 1 for 5 from a tight window. Very tight. They were 1 for 1.
Yeah.
23
yeah.
of 43 all around. That's 50.
That scheme?
23 wide open threes.
I know the numbers. That scheme or that's effort?
That's effort.
That's effort.
100%.
That's also effort. Reaction, though. Like, a lot of those are coming off of these dumb screens where then somebody slides over and they overcorrect and someone swings it to the corner. And Caleb Martin is there acting like Caleb Martin from the Eastern Conference Finals.
Caleb Durant.
Don't shake your head. You know that that's what happened.
Okay, but I'm not going to blame the coach for that.
You can blame everyone, Jones.
I'm not blaming the coach for that.
Why don't you want to blame Mazzulla for that?
It's not that I don't want to blame him. It's that he's an easy punching bag. And that's what Jaylen Brown is doing, and I don't like it. Because you guys are the ones who went out and loafed around and thought you could just show up and beat the Heat. And you can't. I don't think that's about scheme.
I don't think it's fair to excuse the lack of adjustments they in didn't game either.
They didn't adjust. But guess what? No scheme should lose to that Miami team. With that lack of talent, no scheme should lose to that team. That's about effort and playing down to the level of competition. That's how they blow giant leads against Milwaukee and almost lose without Giannis. That's how they lose to the Cavs when they didn't have Donovan Mitchell and lost Evan Mobley in game. I know there's another game I'm forgetting where they lost to a team without their superstar.
They lost to the Lakers in Boston without Anthony Davis and LeBron.
Atlanta,
they got killed in that game.
Like they've lost to all these teams.
That scheme?
They have this in them, of course.
That's about the players to me.
Tatum's not good.
Carl is
hey,
in Chicago.
Stop it.
Yeah, I thought I was helping.
Mego, you're leading the charge on that. Carl, go ahead on the draft.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I want to strongly advise you guys to stay away from North Carolina players. They're not really trustworthy right off the bat. Javonte Williams has stunk. Michael Carter's not even in the league anymore, I don't think.
Yeah. Trubisky was bad. How about Julius Peppers? He's pretty good.
Julius Peppers was okay, but he's different because his last name is named after a food.
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
I've heard the Mitch Trubisky one before. I hadn't heard it about all North Carolina players.
Look at that. He's silenced.
That's a new one.
Face.
Look, if you want to say you're afraid of taking a quarterback because Trubisky didn't work out from the same school, that's fine. But, you know, there's a long list of you wouldn't have taken C.J. Stroud last year because Ohio State quarterbacks generally suck in the NFL.
When Carl first called in, I thought he was using one of those voice disguisers. I was like, oh, my God, it's someone from Washington.
If you never wanted to take an Oregon quarterback, I wouldn't have blamed you. You would have missed out on Justin Herbert. So I think that's bad logic, but if that's your logic, go ahead. Harrison's in Seacon. Hello, Harrison.
Hi, Harrison.
Hey, how's it going? So Hi. You all played yesterday that J.J. McCarthy, when he was talking about the Patriots
yes.
and if he were drafted there.
Yep.
Oh, my God, did I hate that so much. I do not want to see him here in the Patriots uniform because – how do you go from being, you know, not carrying a team, and yet now you're going to come to the Patriots where you're going to have to carry the team with not much around you? I do not want to see him drafted, especially if he has to sit here at three.
Yeah, trust me, I don't want him based on his play. I didn't like him sucking up to Robert Kraft. What do you think of the theory? And you can brush it aside if you want, but Jeremy Fowler, who we've had on the show, and Pete Schrager both pushed it forward yesterday. We played the Schrager audio on the show. Fowler wrote it on ESPN. The idea that Brady could reach out to Kraft and say, take J.J. McCarthy.
I hate that because I think then Kraft would turn
okay.
to Wolf or whoever and be like, we got to do it.
Go make the pick.
Brady's the only one who's okay. always come through.
So you don't completely dismiss that. You think there's potential that's in play.
I mean, do I dismiss that it's happening? I don't think that. Why would Brady do that? Like, what
I don't know.
The...
Why would Pete Schrager and Jeremy Fowler both report it?
I don't know. Maybe it's coming from J.J.'s camp.
I mean, I don't know. Those
J.J. took a selfie with Tom Brady at a party and they didn't post it.
Those are plugged in reporters.
I know.
So I don't know why that's coming. That's not me. I did hot take that in real time. Arcan knows this.
Yeah.
That was like hot take, throwaway take by me. But then it turns out,
you think about it for a little, and
actual
like,
plugged in reporters
like,
pushed that forward yesterday.
Can I simultaneously say that I don't brush it aside, but I don't think it's going to happen? Like, I don't think it's going to determine the pick, but I don't say it's not going to determine the pick.
Well, earlier you said J.J. McCarthy 0% would go three.
Yeah, I think they would trade down and take J.J. McCarthy, is what I'm saying. Why are you looking at me like that? J.J. McCarthy is not going at three.
I think they will
trade back if they think that they can get J.J. if they are going to settle for J.J. McCarthy.
They're going to big brain it.
They are.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. Bunch of you waiting patiently on the Celtics. Plenty of draft talk as well with the draft creeping up. Less than 3 hours away. Keith and Hart and Fitzy and Scheim have full coverage here tonight. Arcan with all the latest in trending. And then let's get to the Bruins. We haven't talked about them yet. They win last night. What's the plan in net? And in Toronto, they are so pissed at Marchand. It's awesome. We'll get to it right after trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fell to the Guardians today, 6-4 your final. Jose Ramirez, a grand slam for Cleveland, who takes the series 2-1. Sox are back home tomorrow as they host a 3-game set with the Chicago Cubs. 3 games in the NBA playoffs tonight. Cavs looking to go up 3-0 on the Magic in Orlando. They'll tip off at 7. 76ers trying to get on the board against the Knicks as that series shifts to Philly. They'll tip off at 7:30, and the Nuggets and Lakers play Game 3 from L.A. Nuggets lead the series 2-0. In the NHL, it's the Lightning hosting the Panthers, who lead the series 2-0. 7 p.m. start time. Then at 7:30, it's the Islanders and Hurricanes. Carolina up 2-0 in that one. And the NFL draft begins tonight at 8 o'clock, but the party here at WEEI begins at 6 with Rich Keefe, Andy Hart, Chris Scheim, and Fitzy. The Rich Keefe all-night draft party going all the way until midnight. As of now, the Patriots slated to pick at number 3. I'm Christian Arcand, and that's what's trending.
The critics have spoken.
It's as if you took a float from a Macy's Day Parade and you beheaded them, and it's two clowns.
Jones and Mako.
One looks extremely upset, and the other one looks intrigued.
On WEEI.
Goes down. Heinen to Marjan. He scores 28 seconds. How's that for an answer?
How's that for your captain with the answer?
Brad Martian. Wah.
Is that Ryan?
It's a little bit of Ryan.
Yeah, it was right until it happened.
I mean, look, there is a general sense of that out there.
We'll just omit the fact that he absolutely tripped Tyler Bertuzzi to free up. Oh. I think it was Heinen.
Why? Football. I like that.
What are you, the Maple Leafs coach over there? We'll get to that coming up.
But where's Martian?
I stand with Keith. Rich, Sheldon.
All the Keefs.
All the Keefs.
All the Keefs.
I stand for Keith.
Adam Keefe. Remember Adam Keefe, Arkans?
No, but I would stick with that guy, too.
Ooh, what about Keith from Righteous Gemstones?
That's
a good Keith.
That's a good Keith.
For Sutherland.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, that counts.
24. I mean, come on. It's right on.
Adam Keefe played for the Jazz, right?
I want to say the Jazz and the Hawks. Can someone fact check me on this? I feel like I had some Adam Keefe basketball cards growing up.
Adam Keefe.
Jazz
played for the Hawks, the Jazz, and the Warriors.
Okay, Warriors I didn't know, but thank you very much.
And he played in Spain. Anything else you want to know about Adam?
That's really more than I
start this
more than I bargained for.
This is Hockey Talk.
Brad Martian, his 2 goals move him into a first place tie with Cam Neely on the Bruins' all-time playoff goals leaderboard with 55. That's pretty good. He moved past Neely for the most game-winning playoff goals in team history with 12. Martian also moved past his old line mate Patrice Bergeron for the second most playoff assists
in Bruins history.
I know. He's super
the coolest.
The Bruins so miss Bergeron, and he so misses Patrice Bergeron. People are so right about that.
May I interject here for
a second? Even at age 35, Marchand remains fully capable of putting the Bruins on his back and carrying them to playoff victories. I'm reading from Nick Goss. He's tallied 26 points in his last 15 postseason games. A lot of those without Bergeron. Marchand made his playoff debut in 2011. Only one player since then, Nikita Kucherov. That's a heart winner. Has posted more playoff points than Marchand, 134, during that span. Yes, Mego.
Okay, so yesterday after the game, it was after the game, because Mr. Hu and I were in separate rooms. He was watching Bruins, I was watching Celtics.
Yeah,
so
you were in the bathroom. Yeah.
And then we put the Bruins on the big TV, and he came in, and then immediately after he looks at his phone, and he says, Jones is doing dumb S on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I said, what is that? And he said, he's trying to make this a Bergeron take about Marchand. And I was like, it hurts my feelings that you clearly never listen to our show. you're trying to dunk on Jones and you're exposing yourself as never listening to the program.
Look, all I know, Ryan pointed this out the other day and it's fair. Marchand had not shown up the first 2 games. Fair. Completely invisible. But last night, 3-point game and monstrous. And look, one's an empty netter. But the other's the game winner.
Yeah, it took him a little while to get to that.
That was not the easiest empty netter to get. We'll
whatever.
For that.
All I know.
BQA2, empty net or Linus Ullmark?
Yeah, it was fair to howl about Marchand the other day. It was fair. But now he showed up. So what do you say now? You can jump in, 617-779-7937. We have all your draft thoughts with the draft about 2 hours and 30 minutes away. We also have Celtics calls hanging on the line. Meanwhile, I know what they're saying in Toronto. I know. Because he got inside Tyler Bertuzzi's head, just like the Heat got inside the Celtics' head, rattled their cages. It's why I don't think it's about scheme. I think it's about effort and all these other intangibles with the Celtics, not their scheme. Same thing with the Bruins and the Maple Leafs last night. Bertuzzi lost his mind on the ice. Maybe fairly so. The refs probably missed something. Marchand's being Marchand, which is why I love him. And you hear the coach after the game crying. Let me hear Sheldon Keefe.
Impact of Brad Marchand tonight, whether it's on the score sheet or off the score sheet as well, just getting under guys' skin. What do you do to contain him going forward?
Well, you got to play through it. You got to recognize, you know, he's a world-class player, both in ability and in how he plays. I mean, the gamesmanship and everything, it's world-class. And he's been in the league long enough, as you can see. He gets calls. It's unbelievable, actually, how it goes, you know. We got to play through that. You got to play through that stuff. I don't think there's another player in this series that gets away with taking out Bertuzzi's legs the way that he does. There's not one other player in the series that gets away with that, but he does. It's an art, and he's elite at it. So we have to manage our way through that, avoid putting ourselves in situations
like Rembrandt,
where he can put us in those spots. And then as far as this game, I think we've managed that pretty well for the most part. Obviously tonight we make a mistake at a key time that allows him to get the winner.
Okay. So we all know what he's doing, right? He's trying to trying to lobby the refs for the next game, except the Twitch chat is right. They had more power play. They had 5 power plays last night. They were 0-for-5. So, like, you did get the calls last night.
Should have been 0-for-6.
They missed a call on Marsh. I agree. They missed a call on Marsh and fine. They missed one. That happens. I'd say the same thing when Bruins fans cry about, oh, Toronto had so many power. Like, what Jack and Brick were doing last night was embarrassing on the broadcast. Oh, there's so many calls. Oh, when's it ever going to level out? Jack was like, it's 9-on-4 at one point. Is what he said. So, like, I'd say the same thing.
Wait, so you were annoyed that he was a little hyperbolic?
No, I would say the same thing to Sheldon Keefe that I would say to Jack Edwards or any Bruins fan. It's like, all right, the refs missed some calls. That happens. They'll all level out if you just chill out. You got the calls last night, and you're crying about one extra missed call. It'll all level out. So guess what? You probably got too many calls. They missed one on Marchand. It's all even at the end of the day. He's clearly lobbying the officials for the next game. But Marchand's already done it. He's already in their heads, which is beautiful.
I agree. I get what he's trying to do and the game that he's trying to play, and coaches do it all the time. But it really just makes him look weak. It makes him look like a word that I can't say on the radio. And he's, like, sitting up there crying about Marchand.
Try it.
Meow, meow. That's what it sounds like to me. It's like, grow up. Oh, Brad Marchand, Marchand Angelo. Like, it's an art. Like, he's an artist of being a creep on the ice.
Marchand Angelo.
It's so dumb. Get over it. You sound like a baby. You sound like a meow meow.
Not to mention the fact that Marchand didn't draw any penalties. Like, it's not like he's out there getting all these calls. They didn't call a penalty on
him. Yeah, true.
But he's like, oh, he gets all these calls. He didn't get one call. Nothing happened. He didn't draw a penalty.
I do know what he meant. It was the absence of a call there, but I get it. Him saying he's getting calls technically is not accurate.
He didn't actually get any calls. They didn't call something on him, but that's different from saying he's getting all the calls. He's getting the superstar treatment.
This is a good point, too. Like, Bertuzzi is on your team. Okay? Like, let's not pretend like everybody is playing a finesse game
out
there.
He's a saint.
I thought Bertuzzi, and I just read the comment, we don't have it pulled or anything, but I thought Bertuzzi mostly answered it straight up. He's like, he's a great player. You know, it's physical out there, and, you know, we'll get him next game.
Bertuzzi
got
one of their penalties at the end of the second. So, I mean, you know, that's the game. It was a little uneven, I thought, against the Bruins, but even still, not enough that you'd make some big deal about it. And for him to be crying about it was ridiculous.
Real quick, can I hear Swayman on his performance last night? Swayman was great again. I would say one real goal against. If we get to do this with Ullmark, I'm going to do this with Swayman too. All the Ullmark people do this. Lindholm kicked in the other one. It's good to see Lindholm finally score in the postseason. He kicks him one off his back skate. It's not his fault, right? He's engaged with, I think it was Bertuzzi, on that goal. And so he kicks one into the net. He finally scores. But Swayman was great again last night. 5 power plays. Toronto couldn't score. Here's his answer or his quick exchange after the game.
Anytime I get a chance to play, I'm going to do whatever I can to help this team win, whether it's back-to-back or every other game. I'm just really grateful every time I do get a chance, and that's all I worry about.
How good do you feel with your game right now?
I'm excited. I think it's something that all the experience from this year and past years have accumulated, but I still got a lot more to learn, that's for sure, and I'm looking forward to that.
Is the extra rest beneficial, like the fact you had games go off?
I think, you know, for me personally, I don't want rest. I just want to keep playing. I think no matter when I get the call, whether again it's back-to-back or every other game, I want to make sure my body's ready and I'm ready to perform at my best.
Do you feel like you've done enough to earn a second straight start?
Never. I'm never going to expect anything. I'm going to earn it, so that's all I care about.
Can I tell you that's such a better answer? Ryan, you said this earlier today.
Yes.
What did you say about listening to Swayman compared to Allmark? It's the first time you like heard a goalie and you're like, that's how I want him to sound, something like that?
When you contrast it directly with Linus Allmark and his post game in game two, going, no, you know, I don't want to really expect anything.
Well, we all deserve the same amount of games.
This was goaltender capitalism as opposed to the goaltender communism that Linus Allmark has been preaching all along.
Bingo.
And even though I think you should have stuck with your rotation because it's how you got here, that's what I want my goaltender to talk like. I don't want to rest. I just want to make sure I'm good. Get me in there and let me keep playing because I think we're going to win is basically what he's saying.
Okay. What are they doing in game four, Mego?
I think they're going to go back to the rotation. Ugh. I want to be on the record. I jumped the ship. I don't think they should. I think you have to stick with Swayman.
You didn't
after
want him in game two, right?
He had last night.
You said you didn't want him in
yeah,
game two,
Allmark.
Right?
I wanted Allmark to start. Like, at this point, I just, after seeing the two, I don't know. Like, I try to look at it as, okay, what are you doing long term? Can Swayman play long term? Can he last past this series? If you go another series, if you go another series after that, he's never been given the opportunity, so you don't really know what he has. But you're living day to day at this point in this series, and I think you just go with Swayman. It's so clear to me in this particular matchup against Toronto.
Arkan.
I would rather the Patriots draft a long snapper third overall tonight than see Linus Allmark again in this series. I'm not kidding. Unless, you know, Swayman gets hurt or something. I don't want to see anybody but Jeremy Swayman again for the rest of the series. The Leafs are terrified of Swayman. They're scared of him. They're not scared of Linus Allmark.
We said Marchand's in their head, so is Swayman.
Yes.
They're both 100%. In their
heads. Yeah. And it wasn't even his best game yesterday, and it was still better than any game Allmark's had against them this year, goals-wise. You know, he let in two. That's the most he's ever let in against them.
And they still won
the game. 5-0, and he's completely got them rattled. And if you go away from that, I think you're just stupid.
Okay. Look, I think, what do you think they're doing, though?
I think they have to go with Swayman.
Okay, me too.
I think they have to, but I don't know. I mean,
we'd all start
Swayman.
They
love this stupid rotation.
We'd all start Swayman. I think they're starting Swayman. I think the extra day gives them the out. The extra day gives them the out to do
it.
Good
point, yeah.
I would do it either way, but there's no game tomorrow. They don't play again until Saturday. I would do it either way.
Which is stupid, by the way. I hate these doubling up.
What do you mean? Oh, just having the back-to-back days off.
The Celtics and the Bruins on the same night.
Yeah. And
it's driving me nuts.
And Messi against the Revs. It's going to be a big night. 617. I'm sure the Fun Sox play, too. 617-779.
They already played.
They're so fun these days.
793. 14 and 12. Don't make me do the math. When it comes to what we want them to do tonight, Arkan said he'd rather have a long snapper than sitting down Jeremy Swayman. We have full Patriots coverage tonight of what they're going to do. Keith, Fitzy, Hart, Scheim, they'll be breaking down the pick and reacting to it. I think we have extended coverage after Keefe as well. I think John Lyons is on tonight, if I'm not mistaken. So plenty of ways to get in, react to the pick. I do think with the latest buzz on the Patriots, I'm still flummoxed at why it's out there. And I've come up with two theories as to why the reporting in the last couple of days, really this week, has shifted to they love Drake May. Right? Russini and Chad Graff wrote yesterday, you missed it, Mego, but they wrote this yesterday that the Patriots really love Drake May, and it's crystallized, and he would fit with Van Pelt's offense, and Mayo likes his toughness, and Elliot Wolf, he checks all these boxes, and ownership would sign off, and blah, blah, blah. I think why that's changed in the last week, I would think, is because they're going to take Drake May. But at the same time, that door is open. Why? And I think it's either just to hold Washington to whatever they're doing it to. It sounds like Jaden Daniels. We'll find out tonight. The only other theory I can come up with is Elliot Wolf's little protest. Elliot Wolf's little protest that this isn't his guy, and it's his way of letting you know ownership is making the pick. And I do think ownership's making the pick. We'll play Tommy Curran coming up from NBC Sports Boston. I know he disagrees. Maybe that's his little way of, you know, making you know or letting people know that he doesn't like the pick. He's not signing off on it. Otherwise, I don't get why they keep saying, it's Drake May. We love Drake May. They're clearly putting it out to all the local beat writers. Drake May is the guy. They're obviously doing that. But they're also leaving the door open. Why? I don't get why.
So to the first thing that you said about Elliot Wolf trying to, like, take his handprints off of this pick and say that it's ownership, I feel like you're on the right track, but it's not necessarily about ownership. It's that maybe he is stuck in this collaborative approach because he doesn't have the GM title or contract, and he knows what ownership wants, but he's also standing in a room full of people who maybe, like, everybody except for one other person likes Drake May. And they like Drake May, and he feels like he's outnumbered, as he told us. He's not a crazy person. So if the majority is going that way, and by the way, he's director of scouting, he's not general manager, then he's going to turn and say, okay, fine, Drake May, but I'm leaving the door open, and I'm going to give myself an out, and I'm going to leak things out saying that I always wanted to trade back. I always wanted to wait out the clock until we get four first-round picks or some crazy offer, and then I can be the smart guy, and I don't have to take responsibility for this. And if you want the job of GM, I just don't like that way of doing business. I want him to wear it. I want him to have responsibility for it. And at the end of the day, if it's not his pick, then what are we doing here? Then Jonathan Kraft should pick up the phone and do it. Yeah. If it's really what's happening.
I think he's going to. And so,
you think he's going to pick up the phone and call the guy?
I think he's, yeah, well, he should be the first one to talk to Drake May.
He's like, hold on, Robin. You get over here too.
Drake May, we're taking you. Here's Robin Glazer.
She smashes the phone with a hammer.
So when it comes to the Patriots, when I say, like, if they just want to leave the door open to take phone calls, that's fine. But they're not just leaving the door open to other teams. They are putting it out there through the media. It's on their front lawn. They're announcing this is what they're doing. And I just wonder why there's that contrast.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's that they don't love Drake May. Maybe it's their way of saying we're not totally sold on this guy. Maybe Elliott Wolf is letting you know it's not his pick. Maybe it's a message to Washington. There's a reason, and I don't think the reason is they're trading the pick.
No.
I don't believe that's the reason, because I don't think ownership will let them.
I don't think so either, but I also wonder. I mean, we've heard that they've gotten offers that they don't like, right? We've heard that they've gotten offers that they thought were laughable or nothing close or whatever, and we talked about this a little yesterday, Jones, but I wonder what the line is. You know, what's the line between an offer being laughable and an offer being worth taking? Because there's got to be a line somewhere.
So you think
and I
it's
just,
San Francisco?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know what the offers is that they've been given.
What
so
Reese
it's hard
wrote,
to say.
What Reese wrote is they'd want an impact player,
right,
like Jefferson or Christian Darrisaw. And so I tend to think that's what it is.
Jefferson or Christian Darrisaw.
Curran, yeah.
I'll take Jefferson.
Yeah, me too. Curran said it would take more than the San Francisco trade. Reese said it would include an impact player, something like that. And I don't think they're getting that. And I personally wouldn't do that. Maybe they would. I wouldn't do that anyway. It's part of why I don't think the Giants make a lot of sense. Like, at least a team like Minnesota makes sense. They have multiple picks and someone like Justin Jefferson. I don't really understand the Giants, because all you're getting is a bunch of picks. And I don't need a bunch of picks. I already have the number three pick. I'm taking my guy now.
A bunch of picks and Darius Slayton.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Seriously. You could jump in on the Celtics. Yeah, is he holding out? I forgot about that. You could jump in on the Celtics, Bruins, and the draft conversation tonight. I misspoke, by the way. I thought John Lyons was on after Keith at 10. Keith is going, and I've seen these tweets. Stupid me. 6 to midnight.
6 to 10, more like 6 to midnight.
Ow. So that was so stupid of me. How did I not come up with that? So my mistake. It's 6 to midnight with Keith tonight. Mark is in Connecticut. Go ahead, Mark.
Jones, you're killing me, man.
How's that?
The problem is Joe Mazzulla is the problem. If you had Ime Udoka, this team would be playing lights out because he's a defensive-minded coach. They're not closing out on the three-point line at all. You know, you could just see it. They're not contesting. And Porzingis looks like he's just weak out there. I don't know what the problem
is.
Okay,
so you think it's scheme. You don't think it's effort?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely effort.
Okay.
Definitely, absolutely effort.
And, like, if you want to blame Mazzulla for that compared to Udoka, that he would get more out of them effort-wise, fine. Maybe there's a conversation to be had. It's not their scheme. And so when it comes to the Celtics, they lost plenty of bad games with Udoka, too, is the only thing I would push back on there. It's like they had plenty of games where they lacked effort or they got punked.
Yeah, what'd they do in the first round of the playoffs?
Well, they swept the Nets, but what did they do against Golden State? I mean, they got punked.
Yeah, they got back to the finals, which is more than they've ever done with Mazzulla.
Fine. Well, they got to game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals with Mazzulla last year.
Woohoo, they didn't get back to the finals.
Okay, but Mego, if you're going to trash Mazzulla, but you're going to hold
on
deep playoff runs.
I'm not trashing Mazzulla.
Well, you're blaming him for the loss
I'm blaming the players, too. I think it's ridiculous to look at what happened last night and the lack of adjustments, and you keep saying scheme. It's not just about scheme or effort. It's about them not even knowing what to do when a switch doesn't work. Like going to the next level of helping on defense.
Yeah.
Like just, you can
defense,
call that urgency.
Defense is almost all effort and almost all, you know,
when the
want
same,
to.
When the same
and
thing happens like 7 times in one half, that's not just about effort. That's like not recognizing and adjusting.
I think it's kind of going, F it. They're going to miss the next one
you
anyway.
You think that they're sitting on their home floor going like, screw it. We don't care.
Is that not what it looked like last night? It's what it looked like to me.
No, I think that's such a cop-out. And I'm not trying to excuse the players. I just think that both sides, the sidelines and the ones on the court, have to wear it. And I'm not going to sit there and go, these guys are so lazy. No coach can get anything out of them. They're always going to show up acting like they're just expecting to win.
I don't think they're lazy.
I think that that's just ridiculous.
I don't think they're lazy. I think they just looked at it and thought they could beat Miami because they smoked them in game one. And so they throttled back.
I agree with that.
Because I've seen them do that a million times.
I also think that like part of coaching is being able to, at a timeout, go, hey, Bam Adebayo is driving you nuts, Jaylen Brown, by throwing a shoulder and having a moving screen. But guess what? Even when you overcorrect to Tyler Hero, they're shooting it out to somebody else who's draining threes.
Yeah, I just think I've seen this before. They miss shots. They lack effort. And so that carries over to the defensive end. On top of that, they smoke Miami in game one, and they just thought they could show up and they could coast. And I think they threw their hands up and said, Miami will probably miss the next one. They expected.
That's what happened.
Jaylen basically said this after the game, or maybe it was Tatum. I take that back. Maybe it was Tatum.
No, Jaylen was like, I hate my coach.
Yeah, right. Jaylen blamed the coach. Jaylen threw the coach right under the bus.
Spoelstra's awesome. Jaylen sucks.
Jaylen doesn't want to take any blame for it. It's all about Mazzulla. And so, no, I think it was Tatum after the game who's like, well, yeah, I mean, on the scouting report, these are some of the shots we wanted him to take. They just think that he got lucky. Like, listening to the Celtics last night, they just think that he got lucky. They're like, they'll miss him next time.
This is a scouting report. Like, they're sitting there talking about matchups, and I'm sure that's how they look at it. Like, oh, my God, what a perfect matchup for Tatum. He's going to kill him. He gets 2 points, and meanwhile, it goes down the other end. They shoot another three. And they're like, well, this will never happen again. And then it happens again.
Yeah. I think that's effort. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's effort. We'll continue with your feedback here. 617-779-7937. Keith takes over again at 6 o'clock. He's here until midnight, I'm being told. Full draft coverage with Hart and Fitzy along with Chris Schein. Make sure you're tuned in here tonight or on the Odyssey app. Also, is ownership making the pick? Tom Curran has an answer to that. We'll get to it next.
How young? So young. We're young at heart. We're TikToking. We're FaceTiming. We're doing all that cool stuff. Gather around the radio, fellow kids. It's Jones and Mego with Arcan.
I get the Spice Channel. No biggie. Come over.
On WEEI.
Here's what I know. As of early evening on Monday, there had not been a trade offer that rose to the level of being presented to ownership. Now, as to how it would be presented and whether or not Jonathan Kraft would have immediate veto power and an opinion on whether or not it was a good move football-wise, that wouldn't happen. So there's been no offer presented to ownership because no solid offers have materialized. And secondarily, as with the Bill Belichick era, ownership expects to be looped in on what's going to happen. It's the third overall pick. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, third overall pick, the 15th overall pick, a third rounder. Bill Belichick was looping the Krafts in, and they're going to expect that here. But I do want to emphasize again that Jonathan Kraft is, as far as I can tell, as far as I can have been told, is not involved in football making decisions. He's not scouting. He understands his limitations, as does his dad.
Not so sure about that one.
His dad understands Jonathan's limitations or his own limitations?
I think the implication was Robert understands his own limitations, but you could read that multiple ways.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who'd know better than dear old dad?
Fair. I'm assigning blame with this pick to ownership. That is how I am assigning blame. And so I would do that with any team. I don't think it's unique here. The debate becomes, because I firmly believe, and I think Curran just told you, ownership on some levels involved, duh. They have to run trades by him. They got to be looped in. So yeah, duh, ownership's going to be involved. The question is Jonathan Kraft, Robert Kraft, Robin Glazer, are they any more involved than any other organization? Or is it just routine ownership meddling, which is going to happen with every, it's happening with Chicago. It's happening with Washington, your Commanders. They brought in all the quarterbacks on the same day so the owner could meet with them and size them up. It's happening with all teams. So is it any worse here? I don't know.
Well, I think it's a metal spectrum. I think it's like you talk about the Commanders. To me, that leans a very, very heavy hand on the pick at two. Like, I would be shocked if it's not basically ownership making the call.
J.J. McCarthy sucking up to Robert Kraft and said he met Robert Kraft. Mm-hmm. It's really no different.
I think it's different when you do the buffoonery that they did with their quarterbacks bringing in to Washington on the one day that Josh Harris could be there, and they treat it like The Bachelor night one.
Yeah, but it's still, but it's meeting the owner, and the owner's involved, and
yeah,
he's doing it for a reason.
And like meeting the owner, and I don't want to get like in the, I guess if you want to compare, there's a difference between meeting the owner and scheduling every single quarterback's availability that you might take around the one day that the owner can make it.
Sure. At the end of
and
the day.
And then judging them by their golf swing.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they're all still meeting the owner. So you're right. I mean, the weird thing about Washington bringing them in on one day, sure. They're all still
that
meeting the owner.
That shows an incredibly heavy hand. Like, I'm willing to hear.
Okay, Seth Wickersham reported Jonathan Kraft is going to run football ops.
Well, that he wants to. That there were rumors that he wants to. Yeah, I don't know. You have to say something. It's radio, so people can't say just, see the face you're making.
I think it's
they can hear the face.
I think it's self-evident. I don't know. I think he's involved, and he wants to. Okay.
You said this is the only thing is that you say it as though Seth Wickersham is reporting from Jonathan Kraft's mouth that he's saying that he's running.
Yeah, Jonathan
Kraft
is afraid to say he's going to meddle, and so he's not going to come out and say it. And so it's never going to come out of his mouth.
Right, but what Wickersham has written now, it seems like a couple of times, is that there were rumors going around that Robin Glazer and Jonathan Kraft wanted to run football operations.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm not saying that a rumor can't be true, but it's not that he's sitting there going, yeah, Jonathan Kraft told me.
But he wants to be looped in on everything. And Diana Rossini says he's doing more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's her report, for sure.
All right.
And so I look like the way that I'd say it is, I'm sure there's a spectrum of owner involvement. When you get to one of these top three picks and it's about a quarterback, hell yeah, the owner is going to be looped in.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are on the heavy side of that. Just a guess, but that's what I think. You guys can jump in on this. By the way, can I play J.J. McCarthy real quick? Do we have that quick clip? He was on with Rich Eisen yesterday. I thought this was an interesting answer from J.J. McCarthy. Where do you think you're going to wind up, J.J.?
Where are you going? Any idea?
I mean, I have somewhat of an idea. New York Giants, I've spent the most time with.
Okay. Now, that does not rule out the Giants could move up and take J.J. McCarthy at three.
That'd be so silly.
The Patriots could move back. Adam Schefter says maybe the Giants move up for J.J. McCarthy at three, and maybe the Patriots are moving back and still get their guy. If they do that, I guess I'll have to credit Jonathan Kraft since I think he's the one making the pick. I will have to tip my cap and bend the knee to them if they move down to six and still get Drake May. I don't think that's happening. I think they're sticking at three, which is just fine by me. Don't move around. Don't big brain the thing. Don't Don Sweeney it and screw it up. Don't snip snap it. Stay there and make the pick. If you like him, it's not going to come back to bite you. What was the thing that Brandon Bean said, the GM for the Bills? Like, if the pick doesn't work out, we're all getting fired anyway.
Right.
So what does it matter if I collect an extra third-round pick or a future first-round pick somewhere down the line? Take your guy. Take your guy, and the guy is Drake May.
Yeah, I mean, at the risk of sounding boring, I do think it's going to go 1-2-3, and then the gates will open at 4 in terms of this draft.
I forgot about this. Wait a minute.
Getting a little intel.
Arcan said in the last break he's got boots on the ground intel. What is this? What are you hearing? I completely forgot about this, Arcan. My apologies.
From a source who I trust. The Patriots are taking May, and that it sounds definitive from someone who would know firsthand.
Arcan has sources? When did this start?
I have sources.
Arcan's got sources. One more time. What did he say?
Patriots are taking May.
He or she.
Sounds definitive from someone who would know firsthand.
Arcan has sources. He just rarely shares them on air.
I rarely get like good
selfish.
Stuff from my sources.
Very
this
selfish.
Is good stuff here.
Arcan just texted back, thanks, I hate it.
Arcan bomb. Yeah, Arcan, you do hate it. That's true.
I know. Tell him not to.
Okay. So on good authority, Arcan is hearing the pick is Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I'd be happy with that. What's your actual pick, Arcan? Me and Mego both want Drake May at three. What do you think is actually happening? What's actually happening? Do you believe your source there?
I believe my source. What I would want to happen is I'd want him to trade out. Get back to at least 12. That's as far back as I go. But trade back. Get one of those three in the middle there to give you an offer. Go back and get it and build a team. Don't blow it on a quarterback who's not going to have any chance to succeed. That's what I'd do.
And then when they trade back, take Bo Nix. That's Arcan's solution to everything. Super Bowl back on.
Bo knows.
Meanwhile, with the short show, we didn't get to bet roulette here today, but if we did, it would have been brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. You can donate today. Your car will be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com at 1-877-CARS-4KIDS.
We're undefeated this week, too.
Say it again?
We're undefeated. We're
we did.
One
we, hit, we, hit on a, we hit on a full parlay without Jamego, believe it or not.
I mean, I can sit that segment out. I don't need to be a part of that segment.
I mean, it could go
the gambler.
It couldn't hurt. So when it comes to draft coverage tonight, there is nowhere. Trust me, I don't want to hear Bill Belichick say nothing interesting. Keith, Hart, Fitzy, Scheim, right here on WEEI, 6 to midnight, and we'll react to it tomorrow at 2 on WEEI.
That's the pumpkin market. Greatest gift for me, I don't know this song.
And the card inside would say, thank you for being a friend.
6 to 10, more like
6 to midnight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.